shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. I've got a little cool story to share with you about today's topic. All week long, usually the week before my show, I'm really in tune to the issues people are dealing with. I'll tend to see a type of issue over and over again in my office while I'm seeing clients during the week. And I start to think, you know, that's what Saturday's show needs to be about because I see people struggling with the same type issues often. And so all week long, I've been watching for the show for today, and nothing was coming to mind. So last night before I went to bed, I was thinking, I need some help. So I did some prayer work, and I said, I'm open. I need to be guided on what you think people need to hear about tomorrow. And I had this incredible dream where I actually watched myself doing all of today's show. And I woke up this morning, and I was like, oh, that's it. That's exactly what I need to do it on. I was so jazzed, and it was such a cool God message that I thought, you know, the Creator, God, wants me to do this show today, and I am tuned in and I am listening. So I woke up this morning and I started writing down everything I had said last night in my dream. It was very, very cool. So I wanted to share that with you because it speaks to the importance of this issue. We're going to be talking about addictions, something that I see in my private practice as a psychologist over and over again. I've been doing it for 34 years, and I see it all the time. So when I'm talking about addictions, I'm talking about drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, sex, food, shopping, gambling, and then let's add in there gossiping. I actually see people addicted to gossiping. And now, lately, the latest one that we can add to the list is political hatred. I see people very addicted to the politics and their opinions and the political hatred that fuels their mind. So we're going to talk about the mechanism of addiction and what are the consequences? And the last part of the show, I'm going to give you step by step how you can start to look at your own addictions to get a handle on them and do something different in your life. So let's talk about how addictions can harm your life. I mean, some of them are obvious and some of them are a little bit more subtle. Addictions have a huge financial cost. It's not just the cost of drugs or alcohol or the cost of paying for sex or medical issues regarding sex, but fines and insurance and financial ruin can happen from these addictions. I've seen people with gambling addictions absolutely cremate their finances and cremate their finances in a way that can last the rest of their life. Another cost of addictions is your health. Addictions can affect every part of your body. Like just because you smoke and you think it's just affecting your lungs, it's more than that. Look at what happens when you diminish the oxygen to your brain, to your arteries, to your heart. Smoking is directly linked with many brain disorders and cognitive problems. There's a higher incidence of Alzheimer's in smokers. And the consequence to your health is huge, not just scary lung cancer or asthma or something like that. The other thing is addictions can affect your cognitive abilities. When you are bombarding your brain with drugs and alcohol, when you're bombarding your brain with hormones that you get from sex addictions, you're not necessarily helping your cognitive abilities. You may be addicting your neurotransmitters, your brain functioning, to those things that you're putting in your brain, and it can alter your cognitive abilities now and forever. There are changes to your personality also. When you are addicted to drugs or alcohol, all your cigarettes, sex, food, shopping, gambling, gossiping, political hatred, any of those things, it can change your personality. Let's look at this political climate and how some people are really addicted to the political hatred they have. And they have become negative and angry and imposing and things that really affect their friendships and their relationships. So it can, the changes to your personality surrounding whatever addiction or addictions you are struggling with can actually hurt the people around you. Another possible consequence of addictions is that they are often illegal. You know, that's a no-brainer if you think about it. But the behaviors that surround what you're doing can also be illegal. For example, the drug addict who breaks into his parents' home or just goes to his parents' home and steals grandma's jewelry or steals the electronic equipment so you can sell it for your drug habit. Maybe your parents aren't going to turn you into the police, although I think they should, but you stealing or trying to support a drug or alcohol habit or trying to hide gambling debt or shopping debt can be illegal with the things that you do, risking reputation, jail time, all sorts of stuff. And then last but not least, the one that comes to mind, is addictions can kill you. They can kill your relationship. They can kill your children. They can kill you. They can kill your body. They can kill your mind. They can kill your spirit. So addictions can be lethal, and they don't necessarily have to be like drugs or alcohol and an overdose. They can kill everything you hold dear. And so it's important to understand that there is a huge cost to addiction. And if you can remember that, it can be part of your motivation to begin to change this, begin to look at it. So addictions ruin lives, even the lives of your loved ones. All right, let's look at what addictions can do to your brain. It's not just when you're under the influence of what you're doing. Your brain gets changed when you do things that you're addicted to. It can change your impulse control. It can change your emotional control. And not just when you're under the influence either. I've had many clients that talk about their parents being addicted to drugs or alcohol. And when they would come into the house, they would basically test the direction of the wind. Are their parents in the state of being under the influence of drugs or alcohol? Are they coming down off of that? Are they jonesing for it and wanting to go back up into that space? So any of those places, there's very seldom a segment where those kids are saying, hey, I like my parent, when they're between one of those segments. So there's an emotional consequence to not just you, but to those around you. All of these addictions can also affect your memory. There's stress hormones related to it. There's actual physical changes to your brain, and it can affect your memory short-term and long-term. Addictions can affect your mental acuity. That's your sharpness, how quickly you understand, how quickly you can come up with a word or an answer, how fast you process information. That's your mental acuity. And that is directly affected by a lack of oxygen from smoking, from drugs or alcohol, from being under the influence. And it can affect who you are and how sharp you are. It can affect your mental flexibility. How quickly can you understand something and change directions? How can you let go of a thought and move into something else? How can you process the information being given to you so that in a flexible manner you can come up with an answer or understand a problem? It affects your reflexes, both your physical reflexes and your mental reflexes. Have you ever felt just dull? You're super tired or you're hungry or you're hungover, and you just feel dull, like you're sludging through mud trying to think. That's kind of your mental acuity and flexibility and your mental reflexes of how well you can handle your world. And last but not least, affecting your brain with addictions affects your mental health. I see people with incredible mood swings of depression, anxiety, concern, OCD, and obsessing about things. And those aren't just because you're under the influence of drugs or alcohol. Those things can happen from any type of addiction. And it really wrecks what's happening when you're trying to create a life of connection and love and solace. So we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I want to talk about some specific examples with these type of addictions. We'll be back in a minute.
I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 smart bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your sleep number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. It's our biggest sale of the year where all beds are on sale. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. Only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
This podcast is for storytellers of all kinds. We discuss everything from the hero's journey to how to slog through that pesky middle section of your book. From filling out your author's toolbox to answering your questions about the craft and the industry. From magic to mayhem.
Our August series is called Diagnosis Writer. Each episode, we're taking a close look at identifying common but difficult problems and pinning down their solutions. September spotlights designing interesting characters with interesting skill sets.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. You're listening to Morning Song from Randy McGinnis's CD, Ancient Voices of the Smoky Mountains. This is an absolutely incredibly beautiful CD of ancient Cherokee songs. Randy is Cherokee Native American. He speaks fluent Cherokee. He's an incredible musician, has won numerous awards. You can go check out his music at randymcginnis.com or iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, CD Baby. All those places. All right. We are talking about addictions, and I want to give you some examples of some addictions of what you might not be aware of. Most people know someone addicted to drugs. That's something I don't particularly need to give you an example of. Many people have experienced alcohol addiction in their family and themselves, and so that's not one that you particularly need examples of. Cigarettes kind of speak for themselves. I'm actually going to spend the whole third section of the show talking about sexual addictions because it is so important and so unknown by the general population. But right now, I want to give you some examples of some of those other addictions. Let's talk about a shopping addiction. Some people jokingly say, I was stressed and I need to go out and do some retail therapy, which is their word for I need to go out and spend money and shop. Shopping addictions are not always just women. Either. We automatically think, oh, women go shopping. But there are definitely men with shopping addictions. It might look a little different. They might be hoarding, like shopping for tools all the time, or they might be doing sports equipment. But they can actually have as much shopping addiction problems as women. So let me give you an example of one female client who had a shopping addiction. Her husband knew that she would shop, and she would kind of joke about retail therapy, and he would talk about things hanging in her closet with tags on them and things she never wore or things she gave away to, you know, Salvation Army or whatever, still new, never worn, and it was kind of a joke between them. But he didn't know exactly to what extent she had a shopping addiction. And what she was doing was taking out credit cards and paying off the credit card that was getting full, or that was full, and behind. And by the time her shopping addiction surfaced, they were $40,000 in debt. It was $40,000 worth of debt that her husband had no idea they had. They had a small business, and he went to take out a small business loan for something very important on the business and couldn't qualify because there was all this debt that he knew nothing about. So she had to come clean. There were a series of credit cards. I don't remember exactly how many. It was like four or five credit cards. And she kept getting them in the mail, and she kept filling them out and having them sent to a post office box. And it just compounded. And when it finally came out, he, of course, felt extremely betrayed and furious. She was ashamed, and it was a huge problem in their marriage. He demanded that she go to therapy, and she kind of even wanted to because she knew she had a huge problem. But what's interesting about a shopping addiction is there are often hidden components to it. There's often lying that goes with it. Like, it only cost this much. It didn't cost as much as it really did. And downplaying it, or saying, I got it on sale, or saying, somebody gave it to me, when you actually went out and bought it. And now, with the simplicity of shopping online, people with shopping addictions can spend thousands of dollars on Amazon. They can get online and start buying things they don't really need. And I have had clients that buy so many things, they don't even remember what they bought or what's coming. And it's a huge problem, not only financially, but addiction-wise, because the release that you get from shopping of like, oh, I bought that. Okay, good, good. There's a little bit of, I found a moment of peace to settle my upset nerves. I also want you to recall, with a shopping addiction, you are modeling it for your children. You're modeling getting things you don't need, shame, hoarding, hiding, lying, trying to soothe yourself by spending money. So those are some examples of shopping addiction. Let's look at gambling. I've seen more people over 34 years with gambling addictions than you would think, and it's not always men. One man, by the time his wife found out what he had run up, he had $60,000 in debt. They had to sell their house, move. They ended up, the shame and the problems, they ended up actually moving from where they lived and going somewhere else because he had to get away from where he was gambling. I had another client, a female client, that used to, when she was stressed, she would sneak off to the casino and do what she called penny slots. And she would spend about $1,500 at a time on the penny slots. And she would crave that when she was stressed. I had another client that came in to see me because she was spending $4,000 to $6,000 a month playing blackjack. She'd go around to different casinos. She had lines of credit at every casino, and the casinos will extend a line of credit just to keep you hooked. So she was borrowing money from her parents to try and keep the information from her husband, and was deeply in debt to the casinos, deeply in debt to her parents. But she still could not stop going. She even put her name in with the casinos to exclude her from, they're supposed to be able to keep you out, and one casino wouldn't put her name down and do that. And so she always knew she could go back to that one. Then I had another client who was very wealthy, had a lot of expendable income, and he would go to the casino, and it was basically like flushing money down the toilet. He would spend thousands of dollars, anywhere from $2,000 to $4,000 to $5,000, $6,000 at a pop, playing blackjack, playing some of the other different games, not just slots. He wasn't really into slots. He was into all those other things. And his justification was, I can afford it. But he was flushing money down the toilet. And he was constantly running from his feelings and trying not to be present with what was going on in his life. I see a lot of people with food addictions. I'm kind of known for working with eating disorders. I worked for years with anorexia nervosa and bulimia, and then morphed into kind of dealing with compulsive eating. And I see people very addicted to food. They're often addicted to sugar, fast food. And it's interesting because fast food actually has components in it that make you crave it and want to come back for more, whether it's high fructose corn syrup or MSG or sugar, just other kinds of sugar. Fast food can call to you. And once you get off of it and you're not eating it anymore, it's really interesting to recognize how much you craved going through Taco Bell or going and getting a McDonald's hamburger. With food addictions, people often have, they're looking for comfort, and they have excessive intake of food, not because they're hungry. Food is not fuel. Food is comfort. And that addiction with food can create a ton of health problems, not just overweight, but allergies and harmful things when you eat food you shouldn't, such as diabetes issues or gluten or things that you're allergic to, and you just don't care, and you sit down and you eat, and you eat too much. So food addiction is very real. Thinking of gossiping as an addiction is an interesting concept. There are people that just cannot help themselves. They don't try, usually. But they have to talk about anybody and everybody. They're constantly seeking admiration and attention for being in the know. They know what's going on with somebody. They're trying to build their low self-esteem by being seen as better than the person they're gossiping about, as putting that person down, and having to have something to say negatively, usually, about other people. So if you have a habit of gossiping about others, try looking at it as an addiction. And later in the fourth part of the show, when we're talking about how to kick addictions, be thinking about you and gossiping. Because it's really kind of cool to look at it as an addiction and start to put it down. Like, we want to put down drugs, we want to put down alcohol, we want to put down gossiping. Okay, and in that line with gossiping, when we're looking for how people don't control their words, I actually see people that are addicted to swearing. It's funny, I clause there on purpose. Do you know somebody that drops the F-bomb like a verb, a noun, an adverb, a descriptive thing for emphasis, for sadness? Everything is effing this and effing that. And you kind of look at them like, wow. Don't you have any other thing in your vocabulary? Look at it as an addiction. How often do these people just have to swear to make their point? Okay, so anything we tend to do obsessively and over again and without thought, and that which we get some pleasure from or some reinforcement or some distraction or some calming of our nerves, those are things that we can become addicted to. Now, you know, we could maybe say, okay, Patty, you're generalizing to everything that we do that's unhealthy and we do obsessively as an addiction. Yes, there it is. Okay? We can be addicted to picking at your skin. You can be addicted to shopping. You can be addicted to sex and food and needing to have a drink and wanting that little bit of pot constantly, like every 4 hours or so, because you can't stand being fully present in your life. So take a look at yourself and say, what is it that I do over and over again that I feel drawn to, that I have to do, that I use to self-soothe, and I use it to make myself feel okay? All right, we're going to go to break in just a minute. And when we come back, I'm going to spend the whole entire next section on talking about sexual addictions. I see this on a continual basis in my office. I am an expert witness in sexual abuse in the court system. I've done sexual abuse investigation with rape, sexual molest, things like that. And I have a lot of experience with the sexual addicts who perform these horrific acts. But I also have a lot of experience of normal, everyday people that come in and confide to me that they feel like they're addicted to something sexually. So we're going to go to break, and when we come back, let's talk about sex. We'll be
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a dental discount savings plan annual membership. The dental discount savings plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days' worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and right now you're listening to Faces in the Fire from Ancient Voices of the Smoky Mountains by Randy McGinnis. Okay, let's talk about sex. I see in my office a lot of sexual addictions of varying kinds. I'm going to define some of those for you. So if you think what you do is in a sexual addiction, you can kind of listen and figure out if it's something you might need help for. The National Council on Sexual Addiction, and yes, think about that. There is a National Council on Sexual Addiction. That's how much it happens. But that council defines sexual addiction as follows: engaging in persistent and escalating patterns of sexual behavior acted out despite increasingly negative consequences to self and others. Okay, so it's talking about the harmfulness of sexual addictions, harmful to your health, STDs, different things that you can get. Now add COVID to that. Financial consequences for sexual addiction, pain for sex, pornography, unwanted pregnancies, unwanted child support, lots of things I've heard of in my office. Shattered relationships is a huge cost of sexual addictions. Shame, guilt, exposure from what you're doing with your addiction is also very harmful to careers, to your friends and family, and possibility of illegal activity and arrest. Those are just some of the possible consequences of sexual addictions. So over my career of 34 years, I've seen many people with sexual addictions, and I want to give you some of those that are common, because once people begin to trust me, they tell me a ton of stuff. And thank heavens I have a really good poker face, because I don't react and I don't judge, and I try to make it really safe for them to come to me with what's really bothering them, not just surface stuff. And then we can go deeper and look for the core issues. But one of the things that I've heard a lot about is excessive masturbation. And what's excessive? That would be something for you to define. But what I'm looking for is that addictive feeling of masturbation, usually many times per day, where the person is looking for that tranquilizer effect many times per day and can go for a while after masturbating once, and then it'll start to build up again until they go find some privacy usually and masturbate again. Another sexual type addiction that I see is this newer age thing of hookups, this propensity for hookups. And it's been made easier and easier by different apps that will actually hook you up with somebody you don't know in your area to let you meet up and have random, casual, sometimes with no names, sex. I see people addicted to falling in love and lust. Once they get into a relationship, they quickly get bored and they need that experience of new. They're addicted to the chase. They're addicted to the feelings of new and those brand new lustful feelings that are so passionate and profound. They're actually addicted to that feeling. I see people addicted sexually to the attention that they get from someone wanting them, the validation that they get in their masculinity or their femininity that they are desirable, and the actual release that they get from the sexual activity. You have to remember that sexual orgasm releases an endorphin in the brain, and that endorphin can feel good and feel relaxing, and the actual act of shutting down the extra blood flow to the genitals and that starts to shut down and go back into your body, there's actually kind of a tension release that happens from that. And that feeling can be addictive as well. So let's look at the types of sexual addiction. Let's look at a biological sexual addiction. You're addicted to getting off. You have trouble in relationships. You have lots of fantasies and images and seeking behavior for sexuality. And this biological type of sexual addiction is often fueled by that endorphin release that I was talking about a minute ago. Let's look at the psychological addiction of a sexual addiction. Abuse, neglect, abandonment can fuel a psychological addiction to sex. Take, for example, I've got a client that I saw that was addicted and had a sexual fetish, meaning the fetish was the only thing that got him aroused and into having sex or that gave him an erection. And that was when he was a young boy, like 6, 7, 8 years old, he had a babysitter that molested him. And she used to walk around in these high heels, and he would hear the sound of high heels scraping on the floor. And when that would happen, he would get aroused because she molested him when she had these high heels on. So then as an adult, he had to have that sound of high heels scraping on the floor in order to get aroused. So that becomes a sexual fetish. And that is a psychological part of an addiction. Now, just having a stimulus fetish or something like that doesn't necessarily mean you're a sex addict. But if you are constantly seeking that stimuli in an obsessive kind of way, then we're talking about a sexual addiction. So a fact is that about 80% of sexual addicts have abuse, neglect, abandonment, psychological issues in their past that have anchored them to sexuality as a form of release. So let's look at also sexual addiction that's an emotional, spiritual kind of addiction. It's like trying to fill that black hole inside of you that you just can't get enough attention or affirmation or enough of somebody wanting you, or you're constantly doubting your attractiveness, your femininity, your lovableness. And so there's kind of a black hole needing to be filled in that emotional, spiritual sort of way that sexual connection can give a person. Then I see people sexually addicted that are obsessively repeating past traumas. I'll give you an example. I had a 14-year-old boy who was an adolescent sexual offender. I used to specialize in adolescent sexual offenders and run groups for them because I was a firm believer that if you could catch adolescent sexual offenders before they became adult sexual offenders, we would actually save many people, many potential victims. So I like to treat adolescent sexual offenders. And I had a 14-year-old boy who was molesting 9-year-old boys. And the reason he was doing that is because when he was 9 years old, he was molested by a teenage boy. And what he said to me as we were working on his own trauma and what was happening to him and how addicted he was to seeking out young boys to molest, he said to me, I thought if I gave it to them that I wouldn't have it. But what happened was both of us ended up with it. And the it he was referring to was the anxiety, the fear, the abuse, the feeling of being raped, betrayed, and harmed. And he was just simply trying to get rid of that feeling within himself. And there was also a compulsion within him to seek out that little boy inside in other boys. So you can kind of see how the obsessive acting out of a past trauma can happen when someone has been molested. All right. Sexual addiction can also be fueled by mood disorders. Seeking that brain chemical lift, that endorphin, to ease depression and anxiety. I can't tell you how many times in my office I have had couples where one part of the couple, usually the female, not always, the female is saying, he treats me like I'm his Xanax. He just wants to get off so he can relax and roll over and go to sleep. He talks about how much anxiety he has. He pushes on to me like it's my job to be his tranquilizer. And he doesn't really see me. He doesn't really want the intimacy with me. He just wants me to get him off so I can make him relax. And they feel that their husband or their partner's sexual addiction is looking to them to be the answer, and they act out their addiction on their spouse. So the other type of sexual addiction that I see is people who are addicted to finding somebody that will fulfill their fantasy. I see this with people seeking sexual encounters on Craigslist or these apps that I'm talking about, or trying to find what their brain needs for their fantasy. They're often addicted to porn in trying to fulfill those fantasies, and that's a problem in and of itself. It can be expensive. It can be dangerous putting things on your computer. There's a lot of shame and stuff that happens when you are busted by your partner for your porn. And one of the things I almost always ask people who are sexually addicted to porn is I say, what type of porn do you look at? And they usually look at me and go, what do you mean? I say, what do you type into a Google search? What do you want to try and find? And they have usually a sentence that they type into their Google search that'll bring up the type of porn that fits their fantasy and their fetish and their sexual addiction. Porn can create sexual addiction because it is a really fast and easy way, usually for men, not always, usually for men to get off. And that instant release without much work, without the strain or stress of having to form a relationship, can fuel that sexual addiction in a biochemical kind of way. Not just in a habit sort of way, but also in a biochemical sort of way, because you are flooding your brain with those feel-good chemicals in a very quick and easy manner. So it's interesting to see people come into therapy and say, they'll usually make up some excuse with me there, and eventually I always kind of get this feeling like, what is it you're not telling me? And I often say that to people. So give me the real reason you came in here. And once they get comfortable, they'll usually say, I look at too much porn. And so we start talking about porn addiction and how it is affecting their life, their marriages, their relationships, their isolation, and their sexual addiction. And how, then we talk about how it's affecting their brain and all of that too. But I want you to see that sexual addiction can be far-reaching in ruining your life, ruining your relationships, ruining your brain functioning. It is a huge issue. And I would tell you that it's just as important as addiction to drugs and alcohol. Maybe it can't kill you right away like drugs and alcohol can with overdose, but sexual addiction can kill you in the long run. All right, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I want to talk about getting help, creating change. What do you do if you have an addiction? A little slight addiction with shopping, or a big, huge addiction with sexuality, or a drug or alcohol addiction? What are some of the things you can do to help yourself? We'll be back in a minute.
what is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Experience the one and only luxury Cadillac Escalade ESV.
Play our cash and Cadillac swipe to win promotion.
Swipe daily for free slot play and prizes.
Weekly drawings Thursdays at 7, 8, and 9 p.m.
Winners receive bonus entries into the final drawing.
Grand prize drawing Thursday, October 29th.
Win a one-of-a-kind 2020 Cadillac Escalade ESV.
A legend reimagined with an exceptional design made for your comfort.
Details at WinRiver.com. You win at Wind River Resort and Casino.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to MakeTheConnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and we're talking about addictions. So let's talk about, let's say you've been listening to this show or this podcast, and you're getting it that you possibly have an addiction. And I'm talking about one of these more subtle ones, most likely. Most people that are addicted to drugs or alcohol kind of know it, although I see a whole lot of denial with drugs and alcohol. For example, I see people that wake up in the morning, smoke a little pot, smoke some 4 hours later, smoke some 4 hours after that. 4 hours after that, they smoke a little more, and just before they go to bed, they smoke a little more. And they would tell you it's not a problem, that they are not addicted, but they almost never are straight. They're almost always a little bit high. And I'm not talking about the people who need it medically or have cancer or pain control. I'm talking about the people who just like to have a little buzz on to make it through their day. There's more addiction to pot than you realize. There's a lot of addiction to alcohol that people will not own that they have. And so denial is a huge part. So step one in getting help is accepting that you have a problem. Get out of denial. Really assess your drug and alcohol intake. How are you sexually? Are there things that you crave and jones after and try to find sexually? Take a look in your closet. Do you have a shopping addiction? Look around your house. Do you have a lot of stuff you don't need? Do you go out shopping and spend money that you don't have? Have you gotten yourself in debt? Have you harmed your relationship with shopping? Look at gambling. Gambling is dangerous, and it's a subtle addiction that sneaks up on you. People go once, they win a little money, they have. But gamblers are also totally in denial. They will tell you, hey, I won $2,000 yesterday. They won't tell you that it costs $6,000 to win $2,000. I had a client that the casinos used to send black cards, which let him and his spouse get absolutely anything they wanted at the casino, at any store at was paid for, they'd get a suite, they would get fueled by gambling money, and he had probably $200,000 or $300,000 a year gambling habit, and would talk about the times he won $50,000 or $40,000. But if he really looked at his overall gambling addiction, it was humongous. So the casinos will fuel that. They love compulsive gamblers. They will help you become a compulsive gambler. So accepting that you have a problem, getting out of denial, stop doing the, well, not me, I can control it, I could stop anytime I want. That's denial. So step one, accept that you have a problem. Now it's time to learn how to understand your problem. Do some research. Get into therapy. Talk about it. Dr. Google it, as Dr. Malotki always says. Dr. Google it. And start to understand what's happening. The other thing that's really kind of cool is as you're trying to understand it, one of the good things about social media is that there will be a group, and it can be a private group that you don't have to have your name advertised, and there can be a group on Facebook or social media of some sort that is for shopping addicts, that's for gambling addicts. Just type in shopping addiction or porn addiction, and join a group of people who are trying to kick the habit and are supporting each other in doing that. Sometimes when you're having the worst problem and you can go on your site and say, hey, you guys, somebody just died that I really love and all I want to do is go out and spend money. You can get on your shopping addiction site and somebody will say, talk to us. Don't go. Just, you know, stay home. They'll help you through, and that's really kind of cool. So as you're trying to understand your addiction, it's really important that you look at what are your triggers. What makes you want to go shopping? What makes you want to have a drink? What makes you need a drink, not just want a drink? What are you trying to anesthetize with pot? What does gambling do for you? What happens when you're watching porn and you get off and you calm down? Look for your triggers. What makes you want to go do your addiction? So then once you can define what your triggers are, the next step is you have to recognize when those triggers are occurring. You want to begin to recognize it and then redirect, choose another behavior that's healthier. If you go to my podcast on habits, making and breaking them, it's back, go to Therapy in a Nutshell podcast, Dr. Patricia Bay, Therapy in a Nutshell podcast, and there's almost 80 titles now, and one of them is habits, making them or breaking them. You want to make a habit that's other than your addiction, and you want to break this addiction habit. So that podcast is going to be really helpful to you if you are ready to break this addiction that you have. The other thing in breaking an addiction is the support of loved ones. Confiding in somebody that you have a problem, asking them for help, getting them to support you when you're having a problem, getting them to bust you when they see you start acting out, helping them watch for your triggers. Somebody who really loves you and supports you without judgment can say, look, you seem really stressed today. Is this a trigger for you to go shopping? Is this a trigger for you to drink? Your spouse can say to you, look, we're not drinking tonight because you need to. So let's look at this. The other thing that can help if you've got an alcohol addiction is you can ask your doctor to prescribe Anabuse for you. You can get a 60 or 90 day prescription for Anabuse. And if you take that, you cannot drink. If you drink, you will become violently ill. Years ago when I worked for Children's Protective Services, we used to get substance abusing parents on Anabuse so that they could get their kids back. And they had to prove that they were taking their Anabuse and prove that they weren't drinking. But what's really cool about taking that is that then you have to assess how you feel when you can't do your addiction. You've got to find other ways. You've got to break that habit of using alcohol to calm yourself down. And you have to find other habits that will help calm you down. So choosing that for yourself, nobody's making you do it, but you make a commitment to you and your loved one, maybe your spouse, that you're going to do that for 60 or 90 days and break the habit of alcohol. So support from your loved ones is critical because many people that are fueling an addiction in their life feel not worthy, unlovable, they're shamed. They're hiding things. They're hiding more than they ever really cop to when they start telling you about their addiction. And then when we look at the support of people that aren't your loved ones, like anonymous support on a social media site, or getting your butt into therapy. One of the reasons you go to therapy is to understand the issues and the triggers. But even more importantly than that, you want to work on the underlying core issues that are fueling your addiction. Let me give you an example of that. Take any of the addictions we've been talking about today. If you have a core issue that you are unimportant, unworthy, and not lovable, we have to look at how that core issue came about for you and how we can begin to fix that. Because you have probably formed rules for yourself that say why you think you're unlovable or unworthy. And all it takes is a little thing happening that you go, see, people don't love me. They leave me. I'm not good enough. People talk to me like I'm not enough. And that can be your trigger. But you have to heal more than just the trigger of that. You have to heal how that happens and why and change that. And what's really cool with really good therapy is you can change that. I've helped so many people find that path to healing that and recognizing that love is real for them, loving themselves, loving other people, and having some kind of spiritual connection with the world. All right. So the bottom line I really want you to get is stop being in denial and start looking. Do you have an addiction? Are you addicted to drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, sex? Are you addicted to food or shopping, gambling? Are you addicted to gossiping? Are you now getting addicted to political hatred? These are all things that can ruin your life, ruin your relationships, create huge emotional, financial, and health habits. It can create some really difficult things and wreak havoc in your life. So, think about it. Love yourself enough to get some help. This is Dr. Patricia Bay. You've been listening to Therapy in a Nutshell, and it's just really important to me that I try to help heal the world 1 hour at a time.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.